Hi everybody, it's time again for Noise Cancelling. I'm here with friends. It's me, Gareth Beavis, Editor-in-Chief of Tech Radar, and I am with...
I'm so proud of you. Oh my God, made a little ditty. I'm Sherielle Smith, Editor-in-Chief of Laptop Mag.
And I am Daryl Baxter, the Software and Downloads Writer at Tech Radar.
I'm James Peckham, Phones Editor for Tech Radar.
And once again, I'm Gareth Beavis, Global Editor-in-Chief of Tech Radar, where for some reason, I don't know why, the last five podcasts, I've decided to start introducing myself first, even though the running order very clearly has always said I go last, but I'm just going for a double dip. Hi, everyone. How are you? Good, Cherie? You feeling good?
I'm feeling pretty great. I'm going outside to a Lenovo event later on. I am excitement.
You are excited. Well done. Is it a big event? Is it outside the event itself? In a field?
No, it's in a hotel. Like, we're going back to business with briefings.
Genuinely, like, all these feelings came flooding back. I'm like, oh, they get, like, cold Diet Cokes and stuff. Like, you don't have to have ordered them from the shop from, like, a week before. It's brilliant. Pexy, how you doing?
I'm good. I had my vaccine about an hour ago, so if I start getting really, really drowsy.
Vaccinations and Violence 2021!
I'm just going to keep an eye to make sure nothing in the background starts magnetizing towards you, because that is a possibility.
Yeah, hopefully my connection in this should be perfect, because I've got 5G now, so it should be.
Yeah,
really,
I mean, you are 5G. Depends what Bill Gates thinks. Daryl, welcome to the podcast. Nice to have you.
Thanks for inviting me. Good to be here.
I mean, your audio and visual setup is just insane. Like, the quality of your webcam, like, the audio levels, you know what you're doing.
I'm prepared. I'm here. I'm ready to go.
Have you downloaded the right software? Lol. Absolute banter. Brilliant. Right, let's go for the big question. A couple of weeks ago, the iPhone 13 was rumoured to be coming in a hot pink. And it's fair to say, James, that the internet got excited, right? That people wanted this.
Yeah, people really wanted it. I don't think it's going to happen, but yeah.
It won't happen.
Yeah, it won't happen, especially because the leak was suggesting it'd be the iPhone 13 Pro Max, and that phone is never going to come in pink. Those phones come in silver, black or grey, and that's your only choices. You will not get a premium phone in hot pink. But yeah, maybe one day it happened. Also, this week we've seen an orange rumour as well.
Well, just rumours about orange, or just an iPhone being in orange?
An iPhone being in orange, iPhone 13 in burnt orange.
Yeah, I mean, Apple doesn't do pink, like proper pink. It does like subtle versions of it, rose golds and things. It doesn't, there's never an official pink. I never think there will be. But the bigger question here is, if you could reimagine any gadget in the worst possible colour going, what would it be? And I can see Cherie thinking on the spot. So I'm going to start with James.
I don't mean to lower the tone already, but it's a brown iPhone. You don't want a brown iPhone.
I disagree with that. Like,
hot takes.
Done right with the right shading, that could take off like chocolate diamonds did a couple years ago.
Was that a thing?
Oh yeah, yeah, it's a thing.
I didn't realize that.
And people were all about it. Oh my God, chocolate diamonds! Oh my God! And like, because typically, brown diamonds, they're used for industrial work, and then someone was like, I can make money off of this. And they were like, let me spin this the right way. And yeah, it was a thing for a hot second. So with the right shading of brown, like just the way that they do that subtle pink, if you could do a subtle brown and like maybe call it a burnt sienna or something sexy, I think they could spin that.
Yeah, but not shit brown.
Not shit brown.
No, okay. Daryl, what do you think?
Oh, so... after much deliberation, I think fluorescent green on an iPhone, you know, just the kind of colour that you wear when you're biking down the streets and you just have that instead. I mean, why needs like Find My when you can have a fluorescent green iPhone?
Oh, it doesn't all have to be an iPhone. I mean, so that begs the question, I agree, an iPhone would not fly in fluorescent green, but would it work? Or would it? Actually, I say that. I feel like, you know, hot neon, that kind of stuff, it is really popular. It's a shame that it would never happen, but I think people would go for a fluorescent green iPhone.
A glow in the dark?
I could see it selling for the youth. as a man of thinning hair, I'm allowed to say that now because it's game over for me nearly. the thinning hair is really upsetting me. It's a whole separate issue in my life, but I've been dealing with it for the last 6 months and I'm going to keep raising it to hope that everyone will give me sympathy. Cherie, what about you?
I thought chartreuse, but I'm going to go with something even more offensive. Puce.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just the name of it, puce. It's just like, no one wants that. I like, even though it is theoretically a dark red or a purple brownish color, like, just the, like, yes, we're going to come out with a puce phone. It's right up there with saying moist. Like, some people will be recoiled, some people will be like oddly into it, but I don't think I don't think puce would be a color that will make its way onto an iPhone anytime soon.
Where do you stand on the word sponge?
I think sponge, I think cleaning or cake, so I have no problem with that.
Yeah, but if you say moist, I think of cake, so that to me is a great thing.
But like, there's a way that some people say it, particularly like creepy old men, and they're like, moist, and you're like, oh, God.
Okay.
Did not expect to come on this podcast and hear that, but here we are.
Yeah, you're not a lady who used to bartend. You
you haven't asked him. He could have been.
My hidden past.
I really struggled with this question for the very same reason that Daryl just said with a fluorescent green iPhone, because I was thinking more widely, like what gadget wouldn't fit, and I was like, there is actually no color out there that somebody wouldn't enjoy. Because I was thinking, right, okay, so same way you said puce, like what a beige computer, and I was thinking, well, it's kind of retro, you know, it goes back to the days of like early computing and people would enjoy that retro flavor. I was like, right, okay, well, flip it around and think, like as Pexy said with the Pro Max, you know, there's these devices that are designed like the IBM ThinkPads that are very much for business, and then you think, well, what if they did that in like a jazzy, like broken rainbow color, and no one's going to buy that. And I thought, well, then everyone would say, oh, well done for reinventing these devices. And suddenly you realize there's just no way to do a wrong color. People always find a kind of a powerful, well done for trying something different idea. And even I said, we've managed to make brown work, so I don't think anything else can defy that. So I'm gonna have to abstain, because there isn't a good one. I think someone would love any color. Basically, the way that everyone enjoyed the hot pink iPhone, I think someone would enjoy any color of anything ever. I can't think of anything that wouldn't be seen as alternative or clever or fun if you did it differently. Cool. Everyone's agreement, because they didn't say anything. Yeah. Well done, me.
Yeah.
But I mean, I have to give it to Sharif for the word puce. Simple as that. Points to you.
Puce.
No. So let's go on to the Gadget Hall of Fame for the new listeners. What is the Gadget Hall of Fame? It's a very big hangar that lives in our minds, and we can all imagine it when we go to sleep. Imagine where the Ark of the Covenant is stored, but with, you know, when that warehouse facility was first created, and they're like, what are we going to put in it? I don't know. We've got an amulet. We put it over there in R15 and see if we fill it up with other stuff later. We're very much in the early stages of this thing. There's some good stuff. There's wherever you brought Pexy, barcode battler thing, whatever that was called. Henry's trainers with the stopwatch on. There's and then over in another corner, there's the skip, the big bin where Swider's headphones and a jawbone up are currently broken at the bottom of. So Daryl, what are you bringing in, and where's it going to go?
Well, I'm going to bring to this museum the famous, the very, very underrated, the Palm Pre, which is just my favorite all-time.
Oh my God! That was my favorite of my palms! Oh my God, I'm so happy you have it!
For the listener, he has one.
Yeah.
I've got one too.
Get it out, Gareth.
I've got it with me, but I don't carry it around, surprisingly. Quick key question, we have done this. Have you ever tried to cut cheese with that thing? And not the American version of that phrase, but...
I've not had any, outings or friends events right now, but surely when everyone gets together, I'll make sure to have this showcase for cheese, definitely.
Because the keyboard is incredibly sharp on that thing, and you can slice a block of cheddar with it. You can.
I don't remember it being sharp.
It is sharp.
Huh.
The keyboard on the side of the keyboard. No, not the keys, on the edge of the keyboard, like round the edge of the frame. It's a very sharp edge.
I don't remember that. I just have fond memories of that phone. It was my last Palm phone before I actually switched over to Android. But I'd like to see someone try to cut some charcuterie with it.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to find some.
All right.
Can I do it for a video series? What can I cut it with?
I mean, Pexy, you're the phones editor. What are your thoughts on the Palm Pre?
I've never used one.
Of course. Well, it was slightly before your time, of course. But I mean...
Yeah, it was slightly before my time.
Do you know the legend of it, though?
Not really. I just purely, every time we talk about it, you would talk about how it can cut cheese, and that's all I know about it.
Because it can. but it was so good. I remember it was my first CES. I was probably Cherie's 15th or something, because you've been going there since you was like preschool, because you're like, I'm into this. but I remember being, let's say, tired for reasons, and went to the Palm press conference thinking it wasn't going to be much because they hadn't, you know, this was the days where leaks weren't really even a thing. So, and they launched the Palm Prix, and I nearly wept because there's going to be an incredible amount of work needing to be done, and I wasn't in the frame of mind to do so much at that point. But it's such a shame if it didn't take off because it had an interface that was better than the iPhone. Like, genuinely, it had, you know, what everyone uses now, it had cards to jump between apps. It had like a really rich, sort of lovely gestures. It had the keyboard. It was just, in many ways, almost perfect. So, just that's a shame it didn't take off. And they tried to do it afterwards with different versions, but it just didn't work, did it?
It didn't work.
In the UK, O2, who was the main operator for bringing the iPhone to the country, also took the Palm Prix. So that shows the importance of it.
I did sell it at O2 back in the day. So I was the one who would showcase it and go, what do you want, an iPhone 3G or a Palm Prix? I was like, well, Palm Prix, you can multitask on a Palm Prix. You can go switch between apps and you can cut cheese as well.
It's working. You're a good salesman, Darryl.
And even I had the magnetic dock as well, so it would actually charge it.
Yeah, this is way before its time. Like the listeners can't see this, but that magnetic dock where it could just charge itself by just sitting on the back, genius. Well, I mean, not just in the Hall of Fame. To me, it's going to have that kind of plinth in the middle with the big spotlight on it.
I'll approve of that.
We'll have to employ somebody to come and just bring, you know, fresh cheese every week. So if anyone wants to come and have a go at slicing cheddar, they can
every hour on the hour, different cheeses.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, just in case anyone turns up and wants to have a go, it's the important thing to have that. Great. All right. Well, we've had some good stuff from you, Darryl. Well done. And we've spoken a lot about Apple, tangentially and otherwise. And this week it is all about Apple. We just mentioned about the first iPhone. Let's go to that. I keep getting served the first iPhone launch on YouTube for some reason as a kind of like a suggested video. So I've watched it quite a lot. It's one of those ones where watching it back with hindsight, you realize just how seismic it was. But I'm assuming, and I'm sure a lot of listeners have understood, that the first demo was so far ahead of when the iPhone was ready to work that Steve Jobs had to do, I think I read that he had to do it in exact order of like opening apps and shutting things down, otherwise the whole thing would have crashed. Live demo on the air. Just amazing. Like, Cherie, did you cover that, or were you in the industry for that at that point, or were you doing something else?
I was not in the industry for that yet, and I was I was at that point fully ingratiated into Android, and there was no way you were going to get me off to, like, if you couldn't get me on a BlackBerry, you weren't going to get me on an iPhone.
But so what was your thoughts about it when it happened?
It was a phone. Like, I was very much beside it with my Palm Prix and my Android, so there wasn't anything for me there, and it was just ridiculously expensive, so I was just like, yeah, no, this is not going to be a possibility for me. I was freelancing, like, it, yeah, no.
And the funny thing is, like, one of the ways that it was demoed on the day was Steve Jobs phoned Starbucks and ordered 4,000 lattes, and everyone was like, oh, you're so funny, it's brilliant. And it's funny because you think that, like, how is that a demo? But you have to remember, this was the days when the iPhone, so the iPod was reigning supreme. It had a touch wheel, and then suddenly Apple's done like kind of an iPod that could make a phone call, and that's why this was the big thing. And it was, I know I'm going over ground that so many people know about already, but it's still, to this day, remains one of those things that it was absolutely iconic. And even if you don't agree with the fact the iPhone is the greatest phone of all time, which, you know, absolutely understand that, there was something massive that happened that day, and the fact we're still talking about Apple now is largely to do with those moments. But didn't always go so well, did it? I think it was the iPhone, was it the 4S, which had the antenna problem?
Oh, the 4.
Ah, 4. You were holding it wrong. You had to levitate it to use it correctly. If you touched, if your filthy, unwashed hands came anywhere in contact with the visage of the phone, it would not work correctly. It was all your fault.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone doesn't remember this, this is where, this is the thing. It's because of the iPhone, you know, live by the sword, die by the sword. It's such a big marketing campaign. It was like the phone, the iPhone 4 especially, you know, it was leaked so comprehensively for the first time and was the first, you know, industrial looking beautiful phone from Apple, I'd say. They made such a big deal about it, and then for there to be a slight issue that sort of like transcended tech enthusiasts to people that just generally liked wanted an iPhone. Like, oh, there's a problem with the iPhone, is there? I'm not sure that there wasn't a similar problem with other phones out there where you could block antennas by putting your hand on the wrong place, but nobody got that kind of, you know, that backlash because nobody had that level of critical acclaim that Apple had garnered.
You're holding it wrong. The ultimate "that's what she said" joke.
How did you take that, Daryl? What did you think about the holding it wrong? Did it make sense to you? Did you think it was fair? You weren't selling these this time, were you? You weren't selling them anymore, were you?
I was, yeah.
Oh.
I was. So it was very odd because I remember that it was also the iPhone 4 that got leaked like a few months before its launch as well. People didn't know what it was going to be called.
Yeah.
And everyone was waiting for the big redesign. And I even remember like 11 years ago of people wondering what it's going to be, what it's going to be called. And then, yeah, it launched at WWDC, which feels strange, actually, now. And, yeah, when it launched, a couple of weeks after, we were already getting a few queries about, oh, can I return the phone? What's happening? And then, obviously, once the event came, and Steve Jobs was... You could tell he was irritated because he was like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to say this, but we're bringing out free bumpers. And then it was just manic. The store was full of queries about how do I get my free bumper? How do I install this app? Because you had to install an app from Apple to request a free case. And it was just mad. Even 11 years on, mad. But even though from that, the silver lining is I want the bumper to come back because that design now is back into the iPhone 12 and I want that to come back to the 13.
And also the holding it wrong thing, I think most people might forget that one of the things was someone emailed Steve Jobs. If I'm right in this, didn't someone email Steve Jobs and they said like, oh, there's a problem with my iPhone. What can I do about this? And he just replied back saying, just avoid holding it that way. As a really flippant remark that obviously started a whole big thing.
But then
eventually when Apple gave a statement, I remember this one, they said like, we were stunned, what they said when they found out that they were... when we investigated it, how we calculate the bars of signal strength to display it was totally wrong. We were mistakenly displaying two more bars than should have been given for signal strength, even though it's absolutely fine. Don't worry about it. It's absolutely fine. Don't look at it. It's absolutely fine. Have a free bumper. Bye-bye. You know, it was very strange. But equally, one of the best iPhones I think ever made, despite that issue. You know, if you did hold it in the right way, absolutely okay. The iPad. Who also thought that was the stupidest name possible and now don't even hear it anymore?
Yeah, it's become that like iconic name, hasn't it? As you say, you don't even hear it. It's just now is a word, part of our vocabulary. But I remember the first time hearing about that. Even the concept at the time seemed silly to me, and the name especially was just like that is odd. But yeah, now it's something I write on a daily basis, and what, 11 years later, it's now just part of daily life.
And Cherie, would you prefer to use the isolate? I mean, you don't like using tablets, but would you have used the isolate?
Cherie doesn't believe in tablets is the thing.
Ah, exactly, yeah. They don't exist, according to Cherie.
I mean, back then when the first ones came out, I was on board. I was team tablet. And then phablets, large phones, came out. And I'm like, well, there's no need for tablets anymore. And that's when I stopped believing in them. That's when they stopped existing.
for someone that works with laptops so comprehensively, the importance of a large screen is massive. Just massive.
Yeah, but like once I could start carrying it around, like there's a difference between me taking my phone and taking a picture and then watching someone with a 10-inch tablet do the same thing outdoors. It raises my ire. It makes me want to slap the thing out of their hands. Like I just can't take it. No, I don't want it.
Yeah, people that take pictures of a tablet, no, not interested, can't handle it either. But... I mean, would the isolate have worked better for you as a name? Would you have felt like that was more applicable, more relevant, more luscious? I don't know. Everyone's giving me blank looks right now, so I'm trying to garner some kind of response.
No, just no.
and I think you said, Daryl, when we were discussing this in the build-up, it's easy to forget that the first iPad was really badly designed, I'd say. It was very plastic, very sort of... It's nowhere near the iPad Pros that we have these days, right?
No, that's it. I mean, it had a thick bezel. It was really regarded as a big iPod Touch, I remember, with 3G tacked on if you wanted it. Couldn't multitask, had that portrait keyboard, you know, with the acrylic and the dock. Madness. And yeah, multitasking didn't really appear until maybe 5-6 months after its launch. So it really was like a one app at a time tablet, and that was it.
But then Apple did the same thing of marketing-wise. I remember there was an episode of Modern Family that was all about Phil wanting to try and get an iPad and how hard it was for him to get one and what they were doing to try and get it for his birthday. And then eventually they managed it. Spoiler alert, don't care. And they brought it in with it, an app that had a birthday cake on it that you could blow out because it did it the microphone. He was like, what is happening? It's amazing. And I thought, I can't tell whether that was promoted material. Probably was. But either way, that showed the level of appetite for something like that from Apple. Yeah, appetite. Final thing, the iPod. Does anyone miss the iPod? I do.
Yeah, I do.
I actually miss the iPod. I do like using one device for just about everything, but I loved my iPad, my iPod Classic. It had room for 10,000 songs, and it was my goal to fill it up. So that was I loved the idea of that. But in the grand scheme of having to carry around 5011 gadgets, I want it for nostalgia's sake. I would not be carrying it around.
The other day, I found in a drawer an iPod Nano, and I still think that's one of the greatest devices of all time. Just such, yeah. I had an iPod Classic back in the day with a scroll wheel and everything, and that was wonderful. But the Nano, oh, such a well-designed piece of kit. Yeah, everyone agrees. I love it. This is brilliant. Yeah. It's much easier when everyone just stays quiet and just does what they say. And the only thing I had forgotten about, and Daryl, you brought up the iPod Hi-Fi.
Yes.
Who made that? I can't remember.
So it was Apple, and Steve Jobs demoed it, I remember.
Was it?
With the massive boombox and where you could dock your iPod with video, because it was around the time where they introduced music videos to the iPods, and you could just dock it and just have either, you know, Girls Aloud if you wanted to, just blasting on the Hi-Fi.
Obviously do. Brilliant. Just Googled it. Top answer is Tech Radar. Good one, Gareth.
Has it got your byline?
No, this was just 3 weeks before I joined. We reviewed that. There you go.
Don't you love when you when you're talking about something, it's like, yeah, let me look it up. Who reviewed this? Oh, snap, I reviewed it.
Yeah, there was one of my favorite one was a chap we used to work with over on T3 in Future Publishing Houses. He used to sit near us, and he was in charge of their features at the time, and he said he was looking for Best Father's Day gifts to try and buy something for his dad, and he found his own list that didn't help him at all. He was like, these were rubbish. I can't use this. He's like, oh, I messed this right up. But yeah, he got it wrong for himself. But yeah, the Apple, I mean, you should definitely Google Apple iPod Hi-Fi and have a look. It is massive. And yeah, it only lasted a couple of years, I think, but 2006 for you there. Right, let's move on to the present day. We've just had WWDC earlier this week. Felt like a gap year. That's what we've said.
I mean, a lot of incremental changes for software, which, I mean, WWDC is for, but, you know, the hype train started like, oh, my God, we're going to see new MacBooks. We're going to see them, folks. This is not MacBook season. It's not. It's not. And people are like, no, but it is. Reliable leakers have said it is. And look at us all now. Just feeling very anticlimactic. I guess it was a thing.
It's really where we ever get hardware at WWDC, though, isn't it? That was such a strange curveball in that way of like randomly saying that we're gonna get MacBooks. And we did see an iPhone, the iPhone SE, at a similar sort of time, didn't we? Like similar time to this last year. That wasn't at WWDC. I'm just saying that's a similar sort of time of year. But yeah, it was never really going to happen, was it? It's always going to be developer focused, and it takes away from the whole point of that event. If they start then launching gadgets, it makes more sense to focus on the software. But again, a quiet year, possibly because of COVID. COVID may have had an impact on that, may have mean that there's fewer things, but a lot of Apple software had a really big year last year, so it probably makes sense that this year's going to be a little bit quieter, especially talking from the standpoint of iOS. I'm not sure if Shuri agrees on in terms of macOS, but definitely iOS 14 was such a major upgrade. It makes sense this is going to be a quieter year.
I definitely agree. Every year can't be this wow year, as much as we want it to be a wow year. That's fine. It's just that, you know, we all sit with bated breath, and then it's just that feeling of, oh, that's it, like that you get afterwards, because you're sitting there with rapt attention for two hours, and you're like, okay, what's next, what's next, what's next, and then it's like, oh,
yeah,
I could have had a V8.
It's interesting though, isn't it? Because you've got. You do have this the developer conferences for developers, and you can see the tone in it. Like the video is a lot more fun. Craig Federighi is basically his own little movie star for a whole couple of hours, and and it would be weird to launch hardware, but they have done a lot over the years. You know, the early iPhones were all at WWDC. You know, there was Macs, iMac Pro, and the HomePod a few years back. You know, it's not unknowable that we have hardware from there, so it wasn't impossible. But for me, we were sort of thinking about the themes with it this year. It was all about connectivity, you know, connecting with friends, and like SharePlay being this thing where you can. And I think SharePlay is interesting. It would be even more interesting if it was across all platforms. But this idea that you can just send a message to someone and start watching in sync together, have it on the TV if you've got an Apple TV, have it on your iPhone if it's an iPhone, you'd be able to do that with Disney Plus and Hulu and some brands like that. I think that's actually, given how much interest people get for articles we publish on how to watch along, I think that's a pretty big deal. It's just, like I said, it's locked to people who have got iPhones and want to use iMessage rather than WhatsApp, which is big in America, not so much around the world. So it's an interesting one.
I think it's weird, to be honest, because the thing is, the last few years, I could have told you, like, the standout feature, really, from WWDC. I mean, last year was widgets, the year before was dark mode, the year before that was shortcuts on iPhone. But here, I mean, it just seems like there's a mix of refinements instead. There's all these little breadcrumbs that kind of added up to be a substantial update for each of them. So, yeah, it's definitely kind of a refinement year, really, just a step back until next year, really.
Yeah, I mean, universal control I thought was really cool until you reminded me about Sidecar, where you can place an iPad next to a MacBook, next to an iMac, and use your keyboard and mouse and just literally push across, like you move it across the screen. It will sort of like struggle into a different dimension on a different device and off it goes. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. Like it's finally wireless connectivity. And then you said, oh yeah, what about Sidecar? Where I was like, oh yeah, that thing where you could turn an iPad into a second screen by just placing it next to it last year happened. So that's already been a thing.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, the thing is with universal control is the fact that you can only start it from a Mac. You can't start it from an iPad. So to me, that says that's a front and center Mac feature, really. So you're going to be controlling your trackpad and the keyboard from a Mac to use on the iPad. So I think, again, it adds credence to the fact that, you know, if you want to bring some more features, it's the Mac this time.
Yeah, and if going to the watch as well, like Apple Watch last year got sleep tracking, which is massive. You know, it hasn't turned out to be the biggest feature in terms of use because obviously you can't charge as much. But I assume that meant that the Watch 7 was going to be much longer battery life, et cetera, et cetera. There was loads of conjecture from it. This year, Reflect came along where Apple would tell you how to be happy and you look at some pretty colours and then feel happy for that reason for between 1 to 5 minutes. I'm still really annoyed about that because the watch itself is a really good thing for meditation in terms of if you use the breathe app, for instance, it will tap your wrist and go da-da-da-da-da, so you can breathe in and breathe out, which is helpful. But it's got these little visualizations, which are nice to look at, but it just feels weird staring at a little screen on your wrist. Like, It should connect with the iPad or with a Mac or with your iPhone, so you can have... Because it is really good to have, you know, mindful visuals as well as they are in your breath.
That, don't get me started with Apple Watch and iPad.
Apple reminds you that it is now your allotted 5 minutes to be happy. Think happy thoughts. This is brought to you by Tim Cook. Be happy.
Now you said it like that, now I feel like, oh no. Oh no. Here's how to be mindful. Oh, this is the end, isn't it? We joined this train years ago. Sorry, you said you were saying about the watch, Daryl, now that my existence is futile?
Oh, the thing is, I mean, no matter what people are wishing for iPadOS 15 or watch, I just want to see Apple Watch widgets on my iPad. You know, I want to see the fitness widgets. I want to see them on my iPad and the battery widget as well. Where are they? I really want to see that. You know, so I don't know why that's there. It seems like an obvious feature that is missing for some reason.
And in terms of, obviously, you being software and downloads writer for Tech Radar, this was a big deal for you, a good blaze of glory to start. I mean, what was the thing that, what's your biggest takeaway from it? What's your biggest thought about iPadOS, iOS, watchOS, macOS, tvOS, other OSs?
I mean, it's like I said earlier, man, I think it is like a big refinement year, to be honest. And I mean, really, with the thing with iPadOS, it's definitely like an enigma, really, because the thing is, there's so many who have been wanting it to be a pro machine. I've done that in inverted commas there, because people want to have Final Cut Pro or Xcode on the iPad, and I don't feel like that's the right way to go now, because I feel like Apple want to set the iPad to be the middle ground between the iPhone and the Mac. If you're expecting to see Final Cut, then I'm sorry, that's not going to happen, because they want the iPad to be that go between your Mac or Windows PC or iPhone. That's what it is. So I feel like refinement is the key here. It's a massive theme really for this year, but I also feel like with macOS, I feel like that's getting ready for the coming Pro Max of M2 or M1X, because there are some features that are exclusive to the M1 Max in Monterey. And there is one little nugget I saw where you manipulate the globe in Maps, and it says that it's recommended that you use a 16 gig memory M1 Mac, which makes me think, could that be the minimum for an M2 MacBook Pro? Maybe.
That's the question everyone's going to be asking straight away. Definitely. Everyone had the same thought in their head straight away. That's going to be for the new Macs. That spinny globe, that needs more RAM. 100%. So, final takeaway from that, I thought the weather app that's been redesigned looks well good. Mm. The rain lands on some squares in it. And I feel like from the days of HTC, where their weather app was the absolute bee's knees, that world is coming back. Very final thought on Apple before we jump to Beevil trends. Is there anything we think Apple needs to make?
More hardware. Where are my AirPods Pro? Where are the Beats that are supposedly rumored? AirPods
Pro have been invented already. Sorry.
Where is the 14-inch MacBook? The 16-inch MacBook? You know what? I will bring them into existence for a hot second. Where are the mini LED iPads? Where is all the hardware? That is what I want to know.
We've got a mini LED iPad. That happened 2 months ago.
Did it? See, I don't...
iPad Pro 12.9-inch edition's mini LED, but the 11-inch isn't.
Yeah, didn't touch it.
And it's right there for the main iPad as well when it comes out. Yeah, I mean, where's the car, Apple? Where's the glasses? You know, there's so many questions here. But, you know, talking about Craig Federighi being an absolute card when it comes to some of these things, there was a very small nod where he said, like, hey, Tim, had a great work session today. Here are some proposed big features for WWDC 2022, including things like dog AirPods and scroll to recharge. Scroll to recharge makes me sadder than anything in the world. Let's move on to Beevil Trends. Right, for those people that haven't heard this very well-named game, it's basically a game of Google Trends, where Google will show you what things are trending at any given point during the day, over a period of time, et cetera, and will give it a score out of 100 compared to other things. What I'll do is give you three players a keyword to start with. You will tell me, I'll tell you the popularity of that, and then the next one you'll tell me whether it's more popular or less popular. These results were taken at 5 p.m. on the 8th of June this year. So the first one is WWDC 2021, and that had a score of 90 out of 100, which means it's very popular. 100 is the most popular, 1 is the least. So the next one up is iOS 15. Was that more popular or less popular than WWDC 2021?
Less.
Any guesses on the number?
88.
Daryl, it's all on you now. You should get this number exactly right to within two, please.
Maybe if I just do my year of birth, so 89.
I'm going to go...
No, 66. That's what you were going to say, wasn't it, Pexy?
Yeah.
Sorry, mate. Sorry. You were going to be dead right. I can't believe it. But yeah, iOS 15 turned up. It was interesting. There was lots of changes within that, and we've had a good nose through on Tech Radar what iPhone 13 bits you can find out from that, so do go and check that out. The next up is the Google Pixel Fold, which is rumored for launch in 2021. There's talk about Samsung making the screen for it, etc. Is the Google Pixel Fold more popular or less popular than iOS 15?
Less.
Lower.
Less.
Correct. It's 5. 5 out of 100. No one cares.
That's mostly because people don't know what to call that phone at the moment.
And also, there was a launch of iOS 15 this week. I feel like the cackling laugh is maybe a bit harsh, Cherie.
Nah, I'm still going to cackle.
Fine. Google will be okay.
Yeah, they'll probably be all right with it. They've just started making Google Photos paid for, so that's going to be a bit more money for them, thankfully. Ah. They were running out. So the new Halo Infinite campaign artwork is offering us clues to a single-player story. That's Halo Infinite as a keyword. Is Halo Infinite more popular or less popular than Google Pixel Fold?
More.
Higher.
More.
Correct. It is 40... it's not. It's 12. It is 12. So only 7 more. Not that much more, but Halo Infinite is only a tiny bit bigger than Google Pixel Fold.
That'll change next week.
Yeah. So Loki was launched this week. You can listen to it well, you can listen to it 2 days ago when this podcast goes out live. It's the Wild Buddy
Cop. Watch it too.
You can, yeah, you can watch it. That's also useful. It's the Wild Buddy Cop MCU show we didn't know we needed. Is that Loki? Is Loki more popular or less popular than Halo Infinite?
More.
Can anyone guess the number?
72.
I mean, I did just say it. It's 41 because I read out the wrong line. Yep, 41. Right, let's whiz through the next ones. Nintendo Switch Pro. Where is it? Adam Vajestica on the site this week posited that question. It's a big question because we keep being told it's about to pop up anytime soon. OLED screen, much more power, blah, blah, blah. Where is it? We don't know. Nintendo Switch Pro. Is it more popular or less popular than Loki?
More.
Correct. 54. Only 13 more, though. Right. Next up, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart is a next-gen Uncharted by way of Pixar. That's Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, is that more important or less important than Nintendo Switch Pro?
Less.
I agree. Less.
Wrong. Higher. Oh. 68.
Oh, all right. Wow. All right, Ratchet & Clank.
Yeah, there you go. And finally, we're going to E3 2021 soon. We've got the schedule, the dates, the attendees, and the predictions on Tech Radar. Is E3 2021 more popular or less popular than Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart?
More.
I'll go less.
Well done, Daryl. It is less. 8 less. It's 60.
What?
Oh!
Daryl wins Beeble Trends by being the only one to go against the grain.
Yes.
But Pexy gets his bonus points for getting 66 spot on. So actually,
I knew it was 66.
Oh. I know. So good, man. I'm so sorry I jumped in when you...
I definitely wasn't going higher.
Right. Okay. Well, that is it for Noise Cancelling episode 68 this week. Thank you, everyone, for listening to all of our 68 episodes, if you have been so far. Dad, hello. Thank you for that. Cherie, you had a good time?
I always have a good time.
And how can people get in contact with you, should they wish to?
People should get in contact with me. They can find me on Twitter and Instagram at MissSmith11. That is M-I-S-S Smith. So not four, not five, not two, not one, but three S's. And of course, if you want to know anything about laptops and things I don't believe in, like tablets, but things I love, like headphones and VR and the like, you should absolutely go to Laptop Mag and check out my staff's writing. They are amazing. They are the future, and we are coming for next. Vaccinations and Violence 2021. And as always, laptop laptop then, laptop now, laptop forever!
Slight less impact when you get the build up wrong, but I felt like still the peakiness was there and Daryl got the full flavour. Daryl, thanks for coming on. Have you enjoyed it?
I've enjoyed it, yeah. It's been enlightening.
Are you sure? Are you sure you've enjoyed it? How can people get in contact with you?
Well, if you want to talk to me about the different cheeses you've sliced with the Palm Prix, you can reach me on Twitter on Daryl Baxter, and of course the software and downloads section on Tech Radar.
Great place to go. Everyone loves it. Pexy, how about you?
I've had a great time, thank you. It's been a long time since I've been on, so it's been great to be back.
Yeah.
I'm at JamesRWP on Twitter. Come talk to me about, I don't know, phones or something.
And the main place to go for all your tech needs is at Tech Radar across all the socials. Please go there. It's very, very nice. We do put a lot of effort into writing things on there, and we'd like to hear from you. If you want to speak to me directly, I am SuperBeav. That's SuperBeav, because I'm a grown-up on Twitter. And please do come to Tech Radar and get all the bits and pieces you'd like to read about. There's loads going on at the moment. Absolutely loads. And it's been a fun week to talk about tech. If you do like the Noise Cancelling podcast, please rate us as highly as you'd like. We want to get right up those tech charts on Spotify and Apple or wherever you do happen to listen to your podcasts. That would be lovely. Please do that. We would love you forever. Thanks, Dad, again for doing so. We'll speak to you all next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.